The Sports Gambling Podcast is brought to you today by Amazon. Amazon, your lead pipe lock for online retail. Log on to sportsgamblingpodcast.com and click the Amazon link to support the podcast. Welcome, everyone, to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I am Sean, stacking the money green with my partner in picks, Ryan, real money Kramer. Ryan, you ready for those playoffs?
Yeah, I'm super stoked.
Wild card weekend?
Yeah, I guess I'm kind of happy the Giants aren't in it, so I don't have to worry about it. No, I'm not. I'm pretty bummed out the Giants aren't in it. Yeah, I don't know. I guess at least I'll be able to break down each matchup without a bias.
You'll be able to look into the games and...
Well, you know, the Cowboys aren't in it, the Giants aren't in it, that kind of, and the Eagles aren't in it.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, I don't have a real strong hatred towards the Redskins, so...
Well, Ryan, we were all, like we said in the last podcast, though, we were all over the RG3, or no, I mean the Tony Romo choke job. And, man, was there anything more satisfying? As an Eagles fan, it's been a horrible year, horrible season, but seeing Romo choke on that last drive to get the cover and to knock the Cowboys out of the playoffs, it was just, it's so funny. I mean, he really can't win the big game.
Yeah, and as I was watching the game at I was actually at a Redskins sports bar. But watching the play, you're like, oh my God, Romo is going to hit that guy for like a 40-yard game because it was single coverage, and he just underthrew it so horribly. It was perfect.
It's great. Felt good. Well, Ryan, after that loss, Jason Garrett still has his job somehow, but it sounds like his job might not even be safe. There's rumors that Jerry Jones is kind of quietly seeking a new head coach for the Dallas Cowboys, but he's not going to pull the trigger unless he has, in his mind, a big upgrade.
Well, so here's what's crazy, right? Jason Garrett still has his job, right?
Yep.
The coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars still has his job?
Yeah.
Let's see. The coach of the Arizona Cardinals still has his job?
No. Wisenhunt's gone.
Oh, they fired him finally.
Yeah.
I feel like I've been off the grid. I've just been on the East Coast, but I haven't really been keeping up with the news.
Well, the Wisenhunt one happened, I think it was a part of Black Monday. It might have just happened later in the day.
Oh, maybe I missed it.
Now, Andy Reid is actually, he's going to be announced to be the Arizona head coach.
Really? That's a done deal?
Inside sources tell me that's probably going to happen.
So I saw a note on ESPN today that said he was favoring the Chiefs' job over the Cardinals' job.
I don't know. I'm talking about my ass, but I thought I heard...
Sources. Reed talks to Chiefs before Cards.
He talked to the Chiefs before Cards, but I thought I read somewhere that Arizona will make an announcement that...
Now, if you were Andy Reid, which team do you take? You got to take the Chiefs' job, right?
Five Pro Bowlers.
Better fan base. Better talent.
Great home field advantage.
But you still don't have a... Neither team has a quarterback.
But he at least saw something in Cobb and was willing to go to bat for Cobb.
Yeah, but you know what's going to happen. I think Michael Vick's going to end up signing wherever Andy Reid ends up.
With the Kansas City Chiefs?
I mean, they're not going to keep Cat. Come on, Matt Castle's awful. I mean, don't you see that happen? Wouldn't that be a smart move if you're Andy Reid?
No, wouldn't that be hilarious if you're Kevin Cobb? Kevin Cobb didn't look that bad this year, especially compared to the rest of the Arizona quarterbacks.
No, I mean, he was actually good. I mean, if you look at it, they were winning when he was the quarterback.
Yeah, and then they just basically got destroyed. How does no one ever bring that up in the Arizona situation? They just basically glaze over the fact that their starting quarterback got injured.
Yeah.
And what was that injury? I feel like I read a ton of NFL news and stuff. It was like
broken ribs, and then I feel like he broke his ribs and then came back and did something else.
Something with like the ribs and the shoulder. Very unclear.
Yeah, it's weird.
And now if you're Andy Reid, yeah, what's the appeal in the Chiefs job? I guess you have – how do you have five Pro Bowlers and win two games?
Yeah, they have talent on – I think – well, you have Jamaal Charles.
You got a first-round draft pick.
The number one reason why I like the Chiefs better is you have Jamaal Charles and you have a bunch of players on defense that can play. Like, you have a defense intact. So I think being Andy Reid, you're an offensive guy. You want to go to the team that has the better defense because you're really confident that you can do whatever you want to do on offense. You also have Dwayne Bowe, who's, a talent-wise, probably a top-five receiver.
Well, yeah, everyone...
I would take the Chiefs' job 10 times. And the division, I mean, granted, Peyton Manning's there now, but overall, it's a weaker division. I think the Chiefs' job's a better job.
Yeah, versus if you go in the NFC West, you got San Francisco, you got Seattle, and you got the Rams. Rams are the worst team besides the Cardinals in that division, and, man, they're looking pretty good, too. I mean, just look at the coaches you're going up against. You got Jeff Fisher seemingly turning the Rams around a little bit. You got Pete Carroll in Seattle. They're on a roll. And you got Harbaugh against the 49ers. It seems like that's a much tougher division. Although, if you're a coach, you know the NFC. You know what I'm saying? Like, you play the NFC your whole career. You got a lot of game film. You know how to win in the NFC, maybe.
That works both ways, though, maybe.
Maybe
the
they
AFC
got used to it.
Doesn't know him. I don't know. The reason I was going down that path is I still find it odd that Lovie Smith was fired. By all accounts, the players like him.
Well, Devin Hester says he's going to retire now that Lovie Smith got fired.
By all accounts, everyone likes him but the owner, right? Because didn't they bring in a new GM last year and they didn't fire Lovie Smith?
The
owner likes him. It's the new GM that doesn't like him. I don't know. It just seems very odd that... I mean, Lovie Smith's going to have a job next year as a coach somewhere.
Yeah, and I think you could say the same thing for Andy Reid.
Oh,
but
yeah, but that was a different circumstance.
It is weird. Well, first off, it's weird not to make the playoffs in 10-6. It's weird to get fired after a 10-6 season. But also, you got to look at Lovie Smith, only made the playoffs once in the past 6 years.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. There's some pretty funny headlines on ESPN right now. One of them is suspended Williams out as Rams defensive coordinator.
Wasn't he already out?
Yeah, I don't really understand. He was suspended indefinitely. I like how Rex Ryan being in the Bahamas is a news story. And Adrian Peterson apparently wants to play special teams. Like, what? Must be a slow...
Dude, Adrian slow Peterson news site. Is just running like a beast. He's going off the chains. Man.
I don't know.
It's going to be crazy. So Black Monday, it sounds like the Eagles, they might be leaning. Oh, there's a lot of potential head coach candidates. Chip Kelly sounds like he's going to be interviewing them.
What is Sal Palantonio saying?
I don't know. He's got the inside track and all the Philly sports news. So once Sal Pal's reporting on something out of the ESPN newsroom, something's going on.
I mean, there weren't too many shockers. I mean, I feel like there are more shockers of coaches not being fired than being fired.
Well, a lot of coaches get fired because the turnaround is so quick in the NFL. You're expected to win quick. And, yeah, I was thinking about it a little bit more about the Eagles or just about bad teams turning around. Part of it also is an angle that I overlooked was the schedule. The Eagles next year will be playing a last-place schedule, which can make a difference.
Yeah. But that's one of those things, too. I know it is the last place schedule, but it's really only two games. I know that's roughly 10% of your schedule, but...
Yeah, but two games can make a difference between 10-6 and 8-8.
I completely agree. I don't know, though. Most of the coaches that got fired, I couldn't really give a shit about. Nick Saban is not coming to the NFL, which is probably a smart move for him.
Yeah, I mean, why would any of these coaches?
I never understood why these college coaches who... So let's say Chip Kelly or Nick Saban, two of the... Well, Nick Saban's in a different class, but I mean, you're making probably, what, $4 to $5 million a year, and you're basically a god. You leave the NFL to make, what, $8 to $10 million? And most likely you're going to fail. Bottom line. I mean, how many college coaches have come in and been great recently?
Yeah, I think once...
Harbaugh?
Well, Harbaugh, Pete Carroll. I mean, these new crop of coaches, of college coaches, are good. As far as coaches that won a Super Bowl that were college coaches, I think it's just Barry Switzer and Jimmy Johnson and Tom Coughlin. as far as former college coaches who also won a Super Bowl.
It seems like it's a risky move.
Well, I think, I mean, if you're a college coach and you're mid-level D1, put it this way, once you're at the Alabama-Oregon standpoint, I don't understand leaving them, because once you get so good, I feel like it's much easier to stay good in college versus the NFL. I think once you get good in the NFL, it takes a lot to maintain that.
Just look at the tenured coaches. I mean, Andy Reid was the longest tenured coach in the NFL. Now it's Bill Belichick, right?
Yeah, it's pretty rare.
Can you name the second longest tenured coach?
I'd have to say, what, the coach in Tomlin, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's right behind him.
Not Tomlin, sorry.
Who is it after
Coughlin.
That? Coughlin, wow. Yeah.
So, I mean, it just shows you that Tom Coughlin has coached the Giants for 8 years, and that's you're a dinosaur at that point in today's NFL.
Quick turnaround, Ryan. All right, dude.
Hold on, we gotta hit one more news story.
Sure.
Ray Lewis is gonna retire.
I saw that. Now, I heard that, and it sounded like he said last Sunday's might be the last time he suits up, but that was unclear if he's playing. Is he playing on Sunday?
Ray Lewis informed his teammates Wednesday that this playoff run will be my last ride.
Does that mean he's playing?
This is according to the Baltimore Ravens official Twitter feed.
Yeah, but that's what I don't get. Is he playing on Sunday?
That I don't know. I mean, I feel like this was being reported halfway through the season when he was telling people that he was going to be watching his son play at the University of Miami on the sideline next year. So.
Yeah, it wasn't really that much of a shocker. Supposedly, he also said he was going to retire from the NFL once his son could beat him in a race. So maybe there was some backyard race we were unaware of.
Oh man,
Dad with his torn triceps just couldn't get that upward momentum and couldn't win the father-son sack race, couldn't beat out his...
That's when it's time to go away.
That's what, I mean, that's when...
Everyone remembers the moment when you were suddenly better than your dad.
Yeah, except for me, it was like boxing my dad out at the YMCA for a rebound. For Ray Lewis, it must be this crazy power struggle of alpha males at the home.
What position does his son play, even? I feel like he's a running back.
Really?
I could be making that up.
Well, then maybe that's... Yeah, it's got to be some sort of skill position, I feel like.
Anyway.
Let's just get to the playoffs, Ryan. Wild card weekend, tons of action, tons of spreads.
Well, not a ton. Four. No.
I guess they just feel more important.
Yeah.
We got the four big games, four totals, plenty of props.
Do you, sorry to go back to Ray Lewis
sure.
for 1 second. Any chance you can... Give me a guess. What do you think Ray Lewis's son's name is?
Javon.
Oh, no. It's Ray Lewis III. Apparently, Ray Lewis is a junior, and we didn't even know it.
Really?
Ah, that would have changed everything. That's not scary when you're a junior. Yeah, anyway, he's a running back. He's a running...
One person called me junior. One.
5'9", 185, runs a
4'5". 5'9", 185. That's kind of small.
Runs a 4'5".
His mom must be soft.
Hey, who knows if he's any good? I mean, going to Miami isn't what it used to be, and it's Ray Lewis' son. He could have gotten in. So he's only a 3-star recruit. I mean, he's ranked 98th in the country at running back.
Oh, so, that's not bad.
It's not good. I mean, that's not a mark. It's an average recruit.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right, Sean.
Let's get to it, man. Want to talk playoffs.
Yep. 4:30, Eastern kickoff. Cincinnati heads to Houston. The line opened at 5. It has since moved to 4.5 in favor of Houston, with the total at 43.5. I don't have a compelling reason not to take the points here. I feel like Cincinnati's the play. I feel like Cincinnati and the under is the play if you're looking for a side of the point total. I definitely feel more strongly about the Cincinnati side, though. I mean, that's a nice money line, 180. You're telling me you don't... Do you think Cincinnati is a live dog?
I'll tell you what I think, Ryan. I think Houston shows up big here.
Yeah, they've been playing... My only concern is, have they just been kind of cruising because they've been basically in the playoffs for the last 6 weeks?
I think so.
Or have people kind of exploited him?
I don't think – I think 4.5 is a little high. But I'll tell you this. I think the public is going to be all over Cincinnati getting points because they kind of fought into the playoffs. They saw Houston lose a must-win game in Indy. But I think there is a little bit of fight to this Houston team. I think they match up well. I like J.J. Watt going against Andy Dalton.
I wouldn't call it a must win game, but it would have helped them a lot.
Sure,
to win
I guess
game.
It's not a must win yeah. game because they lost it and they're still in the playoffs. But a must win for a bye. They had something to play for. The Colts seemingly didn't, except for Chuck Pagano. Obviously, I was all over that pick last week. But I just something tells me this Houston Texans team is gonna show up. I don't know, Ryan. I mean, they did it last year with, what was his name?
T.J. Yates.
T.J. Yates. Yeah, they did it last year with T.J. Yates. Now, wait, who did Houston beat last year? Didn't they beat Cincinnati?
Cincinnati.
In Houston, right?
It was actually, so, RG3 and Russell Wilson are matching up this weekend. It's the second time in the Super Bowl era that two rookies have faced each other in the playoffs at quarterback. The other time was when Andy Dalton faced T.J. Yates.
Wow. Yeah, that takes me back to last year. I feel like this is going to be a lot like last year. Didn't they? Houston won by 2 touchdowns, right?
I don't recall. It wasn't close, though. I think there were J.J. Watt might have had like a defensive touchdown or something to blow the game open. It was like a close game, and they scored a defensive touchdown at the end of the first half. That sound familiar?
Yeah.
Something along those lines.
I feel like they won 31-17.
Yeah.
I don't know, Ryan. This tells me it just feels like Houston's going to win this game.
Yeah.
And that being said, I don't think Andy Dalton can do it on the road in the playoffs. I like Matt Schaub at home. I like their running game better than I like Cincinnati's running game, and I like J.J. Watt to mix things up on defense. And you look at Cincinnati, what they've done on the road in big games. I feel like Andy Dalton hasn't quite stepped up.
Well, I'll give you some matchups that really are well. One matchup, as soon as you started saying you thought Houston was going to show up big, I wanted to see, because I know everyone knows Cincinnati's got a pretty good pass rush. They've been getting after the quarterback. So I wanted to see how they've been doing against the run. According to the all the stats I'll be citing are according to the Football Outsiders. According to the Football Outsiders, 23rd against the run on defense. That's not very good. That makes me think that Houston should be able to get back to their pounding the rock, play action. My problem is that Houston has regressed so much from the beginning of the season. They were one of the top overall team DVOA. They were one of the top teams in the league early in the season, even midway through the season. They're now number 11. So they've dropped a fair amount, and most of that is their – I mean, they have the third defense and the 16th offense. Cincinnati, 17th offense and 10th defense. But the reason Cincinnati's defense is so strong is that pass rush. The biggest disparity in this game, actually, is Houston has the worst special teams in the league, according to the Football Outsiders. Cincinnati has one of the better ones at number 7. I got to be honest, I still gotta stick with Cincinnati. I just think they're playing better ball right now, and it's hard. I think it's hard for a team to just turn it on. I mean, it's one thing if Houston had a bad game, but when's the last time Houston looked good?
Yeah, but I just feel like they're a much more talented team, and I feel like the playoffs really challenge you to give it your all. I think
are they really that much more talented?
I think what skill positions are the Bengals clearly beating the Texans?
I'd say, all right, so if you break it down, quarterback, slight edge to Matt Schaub, if any?
Schaub has fallen off, but yes, slight edge. Schaub.
Wide receiver.
But I feel like Matt Schaub at home is a little bit more of an edge than
Andy Dalton.
It's
probably a push, wide receiver.
Okay.
Same with, I mean, tight end really should go to the Bengals. They have a much better, but we'll even say that. Let's say their offenses are similar. It's running back. It's Arian Foster and Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. That's the big difference. On defense, though, I think they're pretty comparable at rushing the passer. It's the run stopping. And I would even give a slight edge to the raw ability of the cornerbacks in Cincinnati. So I'm going to read off some games here.
Sure.
So since the midway point, Houston beat Buffalo 21-9. They won at Chicago 13-6. That you could argue was maybe the last good game they played. They then went to overtime against Jacksonville to win at home. Went to overtime on Thanksgiving to beat Detroit in a game they probably shouldn't have won. They beat Tennessee in Tennessee 24-10. Yeah. They got blown out by New England. They beat Indy at home 29-17 in a game that was closer than that.
Yeah, but
they lost to Minnesota and lost to Indy. All I'm saying is they haven't really looked crisp since.
Well, put it this way. After that Indy game, they clinched the division. When they beat Indy at home, they clinched the division. They started celebrating. And, yeah, I don't think that's a good sign for them long term. I'm not going to pick them to win the AFC title. I think they're going to struggle struggle either going to Denver or New England. All that being said, I think they come out of here with a first-round win, and I think they do it by 6 points. So give me Houston minus 4.5.
Here's another interesting. Houston is a much better first-half team than they are second-half team.
All right. So maybe lay a little bit on Houston first half. Houston first half, what? You can probably get that under 3, right? Or maybe right at 3?
Houston second half, you can get that. I'm going to guess it's
– Or Houston first half, right?
Oh, sorry. Houston first half, I can look it up, Sean. We have technology nowadays.
Let's do it.
I'm gonna guess it's 3.5. Oh, it's 3. Okay.
Houston minus 3 first half. Yep. That feels solid.
I'm still gonna make my official pick, Cincinnati in the points.
Hey, I hear you. It just feels like a public play, and this feels like a game that'll surprise people a little bit. And I just can't take the Bengals on the road in the playoffs. Let's break down this total. What do we got it at? 43?
43.5.
43.5.
Now, that's a tough one to me. That number is probably about 44 is right around where it's got to be. I feel like if I'm playing this, I'm playing the under. If I play it at all. I'll say under.
I'm going to go over 43.5. Feels
all right,
like
so we're completely opposite on this game.
Feels like they're going to hit 44 here. Feels like it's a 28-21 game.
Okay. See, I think that if it goes over, I think Houston probably wins the games here.
I don't think Cincy can score that many points. And so maybe I wouldn't even depending on even if you like Cincy, I think the under on team. Do we have team totals up there, Ryan, yet or no?
We got that. We can find that somewhere. No need to fret.
So their team total, they're probably hovering right around 20 points. I kind of like the under on Cincy.
Under on Cincy team total. All right, I don't know where to find. I'll dig that up and come back to you a little bit later.
Any interesting props? Throw out a.
I mean, you know how it is with these playoff. You got the standard props, which is like which team. You know, will there be a score in the first 6.5 minutes? Here are the team totals. Bengals 19.5, Texans 23.5. I think the most. All right, so let's just do this for each game. Longest touchdown of the game.
All right.
Over under 41.5 yards. I'm going to say over, and here's why. You got AJ Green, you got play action to Andre Johnson. Both teams like to take shots.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be a shot that connects. I'm going to take the over.
Pac-Man Jones.
That's true. A return. I'm going to take the over for this game.
What is it, 41?
41.5.
I like the over on that, too.
Yeah. But, yeah, I don't know. That feels fine. That feels good.
Lock it up.
All right, Sean. Next up, primetime.
Primetime. Prime. Minnesota. What are you talking about, prime? Yo, man, I'm Deion Sanders.
I love how much prime Deion Sanders buys into his own character.
He starts every sentence with his own nickname, Prime.
Yeah, he's really into himself. It's great. All All right.
Wait, real quick. Was that – that's got to be the highlight of the NFL season is when Deion Sanders tweeted pictures of him getting beaten up by his ex-wife.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
Here are pictures of me and my sons filling out the domestic abuse report. That's got to be my favorite moment in the NFL
so far. Write this down, Sean. Next year, we have to do actually, we should do this for every sport. At the end of the season for each sport, we should do a this year in hilarious news stories with that sport.
I like it.
We got to start taking notes during the season, but
yeah, early favorite is the Deion Sanders story.
All right. Well, real quick though, back to what you were saying. You thought you felt like since people were going to be all over Cincy with the points. Right now, according to the sample size on pregame.com sportsbook spy. So this is counting some 37,000 bets. 54% are on Houston, 46% are on Cincinnati with the spread.
Wow.
So
it's
split pretty even.
I felt like it would be.
The money line is basically the opposite of that. 53% on Cincinnati, 47% on Houston.
Wow, so pretty even
and
spread there.
60% on the over. So, yeah, going to the Sunday, or I guess Saturday night game. Minnesota heads to Green Bay. Line opened at 8, Green Bay minus 8, over under 45.5. It is now Green Bay minus 8, over under 46, with a money line of plus 315 for Minnesota and minus 375 for Green Bay. Let me finish the numbers then. 60% of the money is coming in on Minnesota plus 8. 75% of the money line action coming in on Green Bay and 84% of the total action coming in on over.
And what's the total?
46.
Man,
that just seems too easy, right? The last game they played, 37-34. What's not to like?
Oh, in the over?
Yeah, no, I actually would probably take the under. Just
oh, I was going to say, I definitely, yeah, right away I like the under. In this game, under 46 for sure.
Now, this is the game that I would circle as the trap of the weekend in terms of I'm surprised more money is not coming in on Minnesota plus the points. It just, I don't know. When a team, Minnesota played like the perfect game, right?
Yes.
And they had everything to play for. Green Bay really didn't have much to play for.
Right.
I got a text from my cousin. He's like, "Merry Christmas. Here's your Christmas present. Ride the Packers all to the Super Bowl."
So, was he including the final game or no?
No. He was saying in the playoffs.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Like, playoff present. Ride the Packers. So
I kind of like the Packers as a sneaky team.
My initial lean was on the Vikings. I would love if this spread was 7. That 8 just makes it a little tricky. Do we know what Antoine Winfield's status is?
I haven't heard anything.
They kind of picked on him picked on the guy who replaced him. And the other big thing is Randall Cobb. Is Randall Cobb back?
Now, Ryan, doesn't this just feel like a letdown game for the Minnesota Vikings? Emotionally, you saw what they were putting out there on the field that last game, and that's why we liked them on the podcast. The AP was just running like a beast, just galloping towards this victory. Christian Ponder was playing all right. They were at home. They were in the dome. Those guys were blasting those horns. You got chicks dressed up as Vikings. The place was going wild. And now...
Well, the big thing is...
Now, it's emotional letdown, short week. You're going to Green Bay. You got Aaron fucking Rodgers at home. All that playoff experience versus Christian Ponder on the road. First road playoff game. The only thing that scares me is I don't want to bet against AP right now. I've never seen a guy come back from any sort of injury like that. I can't remember a guy just honestly playing this hard in the past 10 years. Can you think of a guy who just the effort was so obvious on the field? He is...
Yeah, well, like I said, he wants to play special teams.
And I don't think he's kidding. This guy is on another level.
Yeah, so...
That being said, he doesn't play defense, and I think the Green Bay Packers are going to be able to take advantage of the Minnesota Vikings.
And I think part of the reason that Minnesota was successful in this last game is the crowd noise, plus the turf. I think their D-line plays better on that turf, that indoor turf. They're going to go outside. It's going to be cold and frozen. I'm sure the weather's not going to be great. My big problem is I don't see Minnesota winning this game. Now, that being said, I still feel like my lean would be on Minnesota plus 8 if I'm going to play it at all. What I would more likely, this is going to be put into a teaser. I mean, Green Bay is going to win this game.
Ryan.
Randall Cobb didn't play last game either, and he's one of their key players.
Here's another thing. How tough is it? We've seen this a number of times. A team plays said team last game of the regular season, and then they play again, because it's usually a division game, and then they play again in the playoffs. And I feel like it's really hard to win those back-to-back games and to cover those back-to-back games.
Well, and just in general, going on the road in the playoffs, you have to have some experience. Like, and I mean, that's part of the reason I like Cincinnati too. They have some experience doing it from last year.
Yeah, they have experience getting their ass kicked.
Well, they still did it.
No, I know.
And you know, I was talking with a buddy of mine who also went to Virginia Tech, and we were talking about bad quarterbacks in the NFL. And we started talking about Christian Ponder and how he's also a Vikings fan, and how this is probably the worst case scenario for the Vikings. And now, you know, now they can't get rid of Ponder next year. He did just enough. And I think.
Although here's the thing, they got rid of Tebow, and
yeah,
Tebow true. Did much more for but the Broncos.
That was John Elway getting rid of Tebow,
right? And they got rid of Tebow for Peyton Manning, which was really their only way out. But still, they got rid of Tebow after he won a playoff game.
I don't know.
And he did much more for that team. Not to try to crowbar Tebow into the conversation. I just don't like Andy Dalton on the road. It's a division game. I feel like this is the third game you're playing Andy Dalton. Even Green Bay's defense, which
you mean
I don't...
Christian Ponder.
Sorry, Christian Ponder. This is your third game playing Christian Ponder. I think even though Green Bay's defense isn't great, they have enough tape on Christian Ponder to figure him out in Green Bay. I just don't like betting against Green Bay at home in the playoffs.
Well, I think the strategic problem, the strategic error that the Packers made in the game in Minnesota, and maybe they just didn't want to show their hand because they figured, who knows? Maybe Green Bay let them win because then they knew they would play Green Bay, you know. But they're going to sell out against the run more. They're going to force Christian Ponder to beat him, and he's not going to beat him. I really have a hard time taking the 8 here. You know what? Just because I don't think Minnesota has any chance to win this game, I'm going to take Green Bay, laying the 8. My best bet, honestly, might be Green Bay just to win. That might be something I drop a couple shekels on. I really like the fact that Randall Cobb's coming back. I mean, he's a game changer in that offense. And, I don't know. I mean, who do you like, Sean?
Yeah, like I said, man, I like Green Bay. Give me Green Bay all day. I don't feel great about it. That 8 is a little tricky, but this Vikings team doesn't strike me.
I mean, I might even buy it down to 7.
This Vikings team doesn't strike me as a backdoor cover team. I think you can probably get 7.5 and then just buy that half point.
Green Bay minus 7, minus 130, I'd bet that.
Yeah, that feels good. Now, right. 8, 7.5 worries me a little bit because you have Adrian Peterson. Is there a chance he destroys the Green Bay Packers? He's averaging 200 yards a game against the Packers, and we're picking against this guy. But I think for me, it's more a bet on Aaron Rodgers' ability to throw the ball at home in the playoffs against an opponent he's familiar with.
Yeah. And then what do you think about the total?
I like the under, man. Which is tough because getting Green Bay minus 7.5, but 46. I think it's going to be something like 28-10. I don't think Minnesota's going to be able to show up. As much as AP can do, I think this is kind of where he hits his wall.
Charles Woodson's coming back too.
I think it's just too. This Green Bay team's going to be too much. I think the Green Bay, for whatever reason, no one's talking about Green Bay. It's all about Seattle. It's all about San Francisco. I feel like Green Bay is not getting the pub they should be.
Well, you're right. I mean, look at the teams that have been playing in the Super Bowls lately? What do you? I mean, yeah, they can play defense, but you got to be able to score points. Whether it's the Giants last year, the Patriots, or
the game plan's been simple: Giants, Patriots, and Packers. What do? They spread everyone out and they throw the ball around. Yeah, defense helps. Yes, a running game helps to keep teams honest, but
you got to have a quarterback that can complete passes.
Very high completion percentage. I just like the Packers at home. Give me the Packers and under 46.
I will play the under just to be contrarian, especially if more and more people bet the over. I think that's a game. If you like the under, I think you wait until kickoff. I think that number is going to get up to 48, 48 and a half.
Well, yeah, because they're going to be seeing. I mean, if anything, Adrian Peterson helps the under, I think, in this situation. Running outdoors, I think they're going to chew up a lot of clock trying to feed him the rock.
So that brings me to what I think would be the best bet. First of all, the Vikings team total 19.5. That seems fair, if not a little low. I mean, I don't know. That's one of those things. If you like the Vikings, that's way low, right? But the Packers, over under 27.5. They played a horrible game. They played like a really bad game, and they scored 34 points.
On the road.
But that was inside. That almost helps them. I think for my money, that Packers over looks awesome.
And what is it, 27.5?
27.5.
Yeah, but I still kind of like the – I'd rather play the under.
Just the team under.
Yeah. But, like I said, I'm thinking 28-10 here.
All right, Packers. And lastly, longest touchdown of the game, 44.5 yards. I don't know what it is. Obviously, it would make more sense if I thought the over was going to hit here, but for some reason I don't think there will be a long touchdown. For one, Adrian Peterson, he's not breaking a long one in this game. I guess that's what my money would. I don't know. It's so hard to. I'm taking the under. I mean, the smart money is probably take the under on this bet for all four games. Maybe it cashes for one. I'm taking the under for this game.
No, what's the juice on all these? It's all 110.
Even juice both.
Okay.
Well, it's prop juice, so it's 115 both ways.
Got to get a little bit more out of you for the playoffs. Yeah, why not take the under here and then just take the over on AP yards? What's can you get an AP's player totals?
Oh man, yeah, I can't find any of the. I'm not sure if it's just not out yet or. We'll have to update.
What do you set his player? What do you set? Let's just take a guess here. He's averaged 200 yards a game against the Packers. What do you set his rushing yard prop at?
I mean, have you ever seen? Have you ever seen one set over 100 yards?
I don't know. No,
it's
like 110 yards. I still feel like I got. I don't know. That's crazy. I mean, I guess you got to take the over just the way he's running the ball, but he's got to fall off a little bit here.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, and I don't see any bet. I don't see any anywhere that has. I see rushing attempts.
Oh, what's rushing attempts?
It's just team attempts, and they stagger them. They're like 0 to 12 attempts.
Okay.
It's one of
split
those
up prop.
One of those super sucker props. Anyway.
All right, Ryan. Let's move over to the.
So are you keeping track of what we're betting on here?
Well, yeah. So wait, we both had the over on the. What was it, 41.5 for the longest touchdown?
Yeah.
Okay.
We got to write this down. Keep ourselves honest. Because I'll forget what I pick tomorrow morning.
Ryan, make sure. Also, we announced the winner of our Pick'em Challenge.
Oh, we can do that at the end. We can tease it to the end.
Yeah, we'll save that. Okay. We're up to date.
All right. So game, that's Saturday. Sunday morning, well, Sunday afternoon if you're on the East Coast, Indy travels to Baltimore. Line opened up at Baltimore -6.5, over under 46.5, and it is basically the same thing. It's now Baltimore -6.5, little juice on the 6.5, -115, and 47 on the total. A money line for Indy of +250, -300 for Baltimore. 76% of the money coming in on Indy on the spread, 82% coming in on the money line, and 59% coming in on the over. Wow. I don't know. I was a little bit nervous that was going to happen, and I'll be honest. This is one of those weird situations where you get the money's coming in on Indy, and yet the line is creeping up towards 7. You know what that means?
The bookies know something we don't know.
I just don't see what they know. I mean, what universe should this be 7 points?
Here's the thing. In every sort of sense, this feels like a game where Baltimore just shows up against a rookie quarterback and takes care of business, blows them out at home, and exposes the Colts for kind of the frauds that they are. However, that being said, there seems to be... I can't explain it. There seems to be a little magic around this Colts team. The whole Chuck Strong thing seems to have some momentum on it. Yeah, maybe that juice ran out last week when they won their regular season game against the Texans. That's very much a possibility, but I really like the Colts if they're getting 7 points on the road, and I just can't not ride this hot hand. I feel like even late in the fourth quarter, I've bet on Andrew Luck so many times this year, and even late in the fourth quarter when I think there's no way they're going to cover this, there's no way they're going to backdoor it, the guy finds a way to make things happen. That's his greatest asset as a quarterback. We talked about off the podcast how crazy high his turnovers are. He's good for maybe a couple interceptions. I think probably the play is, now if you're talking props, those double results, if you want to get crazy here, Baltimore wins first half, Indy wins the game. Now what would that what's that double result pay? That's got to be something crazy like 10 to 1, 15 to 1.
Well, I was first, let me look that up for you, cuz I was going to take you through some numbers.
Ryan, who needs numbers when you got Chuck Strong?
You're right.
This is a total emotional play. Listen, there's a mojo about this team.
What was the double result you wanted to?
Baltimore wins the first half, Colts win the second.
Plus 750.
Yeah. Now tell me that's not a fun bet. Have you ever bet on one of the double results?
Soccer only, for the World Cup. But no, I've never done it for football. That's such a weird thing to root for.
Yeah, it's got to be tough. But then I bet you there's probably a decent hedge opportunity going into the second half if Baltimore wins.
Well,
the first half.
I'm gonna blow your mind with some numbers here.
Sure.
All right, Football Outsiders, of course. Baltimore, overall DVOA, that's the team ranking, 8th. Indy, 25th. Here's where it gets crazy. The variance for Indy, 9th. Which means they're in the top third for being consistent. So they're just consistently bad. They've just played bad teams. Baltimore's variance is 24th. So they're in the bottom third. So if you believe this team is going to show up, when they show up, they're good. And they have the number one special teams. And, I mean, look at the like Baltimore 13th ranked offense versus Indy's 31st ranked defense. Indy's offense, 18th versus Baltimore's defense, 19th.
Oh, man.
The numbers weird. Don't really add up. All right, here's the one number that really stood out to me is Baltimore's red zone defense. Baltimore's not having a great defensive year. Red zone defense, they're still 8th overall, including the number 4 pass defense in the red zone. They're just bad against the run. And Indy's not very good at running the ball. So, and then in terms of your Colts win the game, but Baltimore wins the first half, Indy is across the board one of the worst teams in the league in the first half, and why not? Oh, no, I take that back. They're pretty bad all the time. They're slightly better in the. Indy's offense actually gets worse in the second half.
Really?
Their defense goes from 31 to 26 in the second half.
Now that's just yardage, though, right?
No, this is overall the Football Outsiders DVOA stat, which takes everything into account, including the opponents they've played.
All right, Ryan. All the numbers say Baltimore, right? I mean, doesn't this make sense that they're going to run the ball all over this Colts
team?
Man,
I really changed my opinion on this game just looking at these numbers.
The numbers don't lie, Ryan, but neither does the emotional component. I'm sticking with Indy plus 7.
Well, are you saying you're going to buy it up to 7?
Yes.
All right, I say grab it at 6.5. I'm going to take Baltimore minus 6.5, and I'd probably take the over.
What's the total at?
47. Actually, you know what? I'm going to take that under also. I just have a feeling there are going to be a bunch of low-scoring games this weekend.
I like the over. I think it's going to be a...
Well, if Indy wins, it's going to go over. Well, that brings me to the next point, which is props. And what I think my bet might just be Baltimore team points over.
That's actually probably your most solid bet.
That might be safer than betting them minus the 7.
Now, let me guess what it is. 23 and a half.
27.
27. Wow. Oh, well, yeah, because I guess there's 7
Colts is 20. That might be the bet over on Colts points.
20?
Yeah.
Andrew Luck's good for 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, I would think so. This game makes no sense to me. But I will go with... I'm going to go with Ravens and the under. And the longest touchdown, 44 and a half yards. I say take under on that.
I'll go over.
Now... Oh, man. So what I have shaping up nicely is a nice little... See, what I might end up just doing is doing a Baltimore-Green Bay tease.
That feels pretty solid right there.
Yeah, I just don't think Baltimore...
Two-team tease?
Yeah, you know, two-team tease, you get minus 110. I don't see Baltimore and Green Bay losing this weekend.
I'm thinking about a Vikings-Indy parlay.
That might be the move. That's what I get sucked into.
No,
that's what you do. You tease. You do a Green Bay, Baltimore tease for big money. Let's just say fake dollars. You did $550 to win $500 on the tease, and then you come back with a Minnesota, Indy money line parlay just as a hedge. Now, obviously, what will happen then is one team will lose. I understand how gambling works, but you parlay those two teams, you're getting 8-1. So.
Is that what it would be right now? Indy? Give me the exact number, Ryan, if you can. Indy, Minnesota Vikings parlay.
Just rough math off the top of my head. It's about 4-1 and two, or 3-1 and 2.5-1. So you do 4 times 3.5, right? So you get about 14-1. Does that sound right?
Sounds about right, man. That sounds pretty juicy.
I mean, that's one of those, like, hey, why not, right?
Hey, that's my gambling strategy. Hey, why not?
But the hey, why not always turns into, oh, crap, why'd I do that? Now I just lost money.
Yeah, then you're like, I'm giving away money. Like with my Northern Illinois money line bet.
My math was not very good, but no, that was about right. 13-1.
13-1. Oh, man.
I didn't do the -1. I'm sorry. I did the right math. I just didn't subtract the initial bet.
All
right,
so I'll go with the over 47 here. I think Flacco's going to
be. You should have done Louisville money line, man. That was the same money line.
Really?
Classic Sean. Yeah, they were 13.5 point dogs.
I knew. I mean, yeah, obviously it's
hindsight's a motherfucker,
especially in gambling. But you knew that one of these big double digit dogs that no one believed in, talking bowl games, was going to come out and play. I just made the although Northern Illinois, if you watch that game,
they played it tight in the first half.
Yeah, well, even the second, I think it was the second half. It was like 17-10. They recovered the onside kick, drove down, and then threw an interception in the red zone.
Yeah.
They made FSU work for it, but FSU covered, obviously. All right, Ryan, so you like the under. Any thoughts why?
For the prop?
No, just the under for Baltimore, 47. Why are you going under? I guess if you like Baltimore, you like the under. You think they're going to be able to slow down Indy.
Yeah, I just think that Harbaugh is smart. And he realizes that if you watch Indy film, like, the reason that Indy puts up points and is volume. And I think you just, why not? Run it with Ray Rice. He's your best player. And, you know.
Yeah, but they have the trouble giving Ray Rice carries for some reason.
You're right. But
they cost Cam Cameron his job. And I still feel like they haven't figured it out.
Yeah. I just have a, like, this to me, there always is one blowout in the playoffs, and I know we talked about Green Bay covering. For some reason, I feel like that's going to be a game where Green Bay wins by 10, but it's not a blowout. But I think on the other side, I feel like Baltimore is going to win this game, like, I don't know, 24-10, and it's going to be a blowout. Like, it's going to be a garbage touchdown to get to 10 or something.
All right, Ryan, let's move to the premier game.
Oh, the big game. Like we said, second time that two rookie quarterbacks have faced up. Seattle heads away from the 12th man to go to D.C. to play Washington. Spread line opened up at Seattle minus 1.5, over under 45.5. It is now Seattle minus 3, over under 46. I'm very confused about this one. This was one I initially was like, oh, I like the dog. And then I went back and I actually watched some of the highlights of the Washington game. RG3 is not right.
No, not at all.
He's not throwing the ball. And here's my thing. Seattle does one thing very well in defense, and that's pass defense. They rush the passer well, and they play great coverage. RG3 is not passing the ball well. Now, my concern is that Seattle, not a great run defense, but, you know, good enough. Now, can Washington do enough running the ball with Alfred Morris to get to them and be able to work the play action? I'm not sure. My instinct says to take the dog plus 3 here, but I just, if I had to give it to one quarterback, I know RG3's been awesome, Russell Wilson's been awesome. I just feel like Russell Wilson has more, like, better nerves.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily nerves. I think you hit the nail on the head. Normally the idea is, hey, if an injured player's out, you take that injured player's team, the idea being they're going to rally around him. That being said, there were people crying in the stands after the Redskins beat the Cowboys. All right, first off, act like you've been there to the fan base. Yes, I understand it's exciting to have RG3. I would be totally excited myself. I'd be talking tons of shit. I understand the hype behind RG3. Ryan hit the nail on the head. His knee is not quite there. I mean, this Eagles team was like two plays away from, and they're an awful team, from beating this Redskins team. This Cowboys team was, they were in a winnable game, and they're not a great team. I think Seattle, if anything, I think they're better coach. I think, first off, I think Rob Ryan is a fraud when it comes to defensive coordinator. If his last name wasn't Ryan, he would not have a job anymore. The way DeMarcus Ware, or the way they were coached to play that triple,
like
that read option.
It. It's like they never seen it before.
You know who has good experience playing the option, Ryan?
Yeah.
College coaches, all right? You don't think Pete Carroll knows how to coach up playing? I mean, he's not a defensive mind, but Jesus Christ.
No, he
I
is.
Feel like
he is. Pete Carroll was a defensive coach.
Oh, okay. I guess I'm just always
helps
associated.
Your point.
All right. Yeah, it is good. Now, I feel like he can coach up on how to play the read option out of anyone that would be a college coach.
Not to mention, they see it in practice. They run it themselves.
Yes. I think they go up against Russell Wilson every day in practice. So I think they're prepared for how to play RG3. Obviously, you could use the opposite argument against Russell Wilson. I think they're coming in a perfect spot. I think the Redskins are set for an emotional letdown. I think they hyped it. I think their season was that NFC's crown, that home primetime win against the Cowboys. Now, Seattle is doing something smart. They're playing well. They took care of the Rams at home. Not a lot of fanfare. Took care of business. You look at the running back matchup. You got Marshawn Lynch. As much as Morris has done and as great of years he's had, I like Marshawn Lynch. I like Marshawn Lynch when it comes to the playoffs. I like how hard this guy's running. And I think defensively, I think they're gonna pick RG3 off. I'm gonna call at least one interception, and I think a healthy Russell Wilson is better than a banged up RG3. I don't think he's able to make the same scrambles that he was, and it's not even an insult to RG3. Man, I mean, this is a tough game to call. If you said, Sean, hey, I like RG3, I like the home dog getting 3, I understand where you're coming from, but I really, it's a chalk play. I know Seattle is probably going to get a lot of public money, or at least I would think, just because of how well they've been playing leading up to this. But I don't know. Maybe the RG3 super hype supersedes it.
The money's pretty split.
Okay.
54-46.
Then that makes
Seattle.
Me even like Seattle more.
Washington's getting 2/3 of the money line action. Here's
which
where,
makes sense. Cause if
let,
you
me,
like,
let me help prove your point even more. So I think it's safe to say both teams rely on the run. I think whichever team runs the ball more successfully probably wins the game.
It's a fair point.
Washington, 22nd against the run, according to the Football Outsiders. Seattle, 12th. That combined with the fact that Seattle, I mean, everyone always overlooks special teams. For some reason, Seattle's special teams, 3rd in DVOA, Washington's 27th. Wow, I flip-flopped on a couple of these games this week, but I got to be honest, I like Seattle a lot now.
Yeah, I didn't.
I'm kind of mad I didn't grab it when it was at 2.5.
It was weird. I was the same way. I was totally torn, but then I think I was torn because it was right after that Dallas Redskins game. But if you actually go back and watch that game, RG3, I don't know. He had a good game, but
they
really
tried to lose the game.
Yeah, and that defense, I don't know, man. This Seattle team feels like they got something special going on. It feels like they're calm under pressure. And I like Russell Wilson to make a big throw at the end of the game if need be.
And according to the, again, citing the Football Outsider, Seattle's the best team in the NFL. Bottom line. And not just by a little bit. Seattle is the best team in the league by a lot. I'm pretty sure they have the number one. Yeah, I mean, they're number 4 in offense and number 4 in defense overall. And that's crazy.
Yeah, they're a top 10 team or top 5 team. They're a well-rounded, good team. And honestly, I think Pete Carroll is kind of coaching a little bit better than Mike Shanahan right now.
Yeah, Mike Shanahan's a fraud. He's just lucky he got RG3.
Really?
Anyway.
You want to talk about coaching. I think they were mentioning it on Simmons' podcast. But can you imagine if the Browns would have busted their ass and traded away some picks and got RG3? There's no way they don't. I mean, could you imagine that? What that team? They might have won the NFC North.
And you know what? That's funny because that's one of those classic, like, you know, Michael. He's just trying to stockpile picks and because they have more than one position that's bad and all that. But how often can you get a guy like RG? You know, it's just one of those things.
You
like,
got to give it up to the
Rams. If Washington was going to do this trade again, they'd probably give up 2 more first round picks. You know?
Yeah, I mean, if you're the Redskins. Yeah, of all these big, crazy moves that Daniel Snyder makes, this is the first one, I think,
and
that's really paid dividends.
I love how they keep bringing up how Mike, obviously they're not directly saying this, but they're like, man, the pick they got for Donovan McNabb was a 6th-rounder who turned into Alfred Morris. What a genius. It's like, all right, stop it.
If you got Mike Shanahan drafting a running back in the 6th round, you better put him on your fantasy team.
Mike Shanahan is a really bad coach unless he has an awesome quarterback. I mean, you can say that about most people. Well, not, you know, but still, it's like, we get it. He has RG3. Being in the Virginia area and just listening to it, it is one of those things. Like calm down, everyone. Like they went 10-6. They haven't won a playoff. People were hugging at the bar. I don't know if I talked about this on the podcast, but people were hugging at the bar. Like they looked to be feeling the same way I felt after the Giants won the Super Bowl. It's like wow.
Hey, and this Seattle team, they got some experienced guys on there. I mean, look at what Marshawn Lynch did against those Saints. I mean, we'll never forget that play, Ryan. That was one of the most
Home
epic.
A dick.
Yeah, Google, what's the, I think it's just
definition
like
Marshawn. Just Google definition of determination and click on the YouTube video with Marshawn Lynch.
It's a guy doing a hilarious voiceover to that Marshawn Lynch run where he's just stiff-arming guys left and right. He is the definition of determination. You get pumped up watching that clip.
Yeah. Little boy!
Seattle? Yeah. Ah, man, I like Seattle here.
We can't talk about this and not bring up the fact that you especially just did not endorse rookie quarterbacks on the road. Well, you did with Andrew Luck, but...
Right.
Especially when a rookie quarterback is favored on the road, it's tough. The thing with Russell Wilson is that guy just has stones. I mean, he really I was talking about this with someone over the weekend, and he has like the he has that weird wiggle ability that we both went to Virginia Tech. We were comparing it to Tyrod Taylor, where it's just this it's a balance thing. Like he's juking you with his head and not losing his balance. I mean,
you know what I think is almost a better comparison. I was talking to our buddy Justin about this. He's almost like a more athletic Ben Roethlisberger. That in that sense that like he slides around in the pocket, he gets around really well.
Yeah, that's fair because it's like it doesn't look like he should be. Ben does it more with sheer strength and brute force. But
yeah, he does a little bit more athleticism, but it's Russell, he's just elusive.
Russell Wilson has that weird ability to like stand flat-footed with a defensive lineman running at him, wiggle his body a little bit, and just run away.
Ryan, you got to look at that. I was watching some Seattle highlights, and that throw he put up against the Patriots to win that game at home, that's a big-time throw.
If Bill Raftery was calling that game, that was an onions.
Richard Sherman's getting in Tom Brady's face. This team's been confident for a while.
Yeah, and I think the main reason Seattle wins is because we need that crash course all the way to the NFC Championship where Seattle is going back to Green Bay.
Yes, to settle it.
Loser goes home.
Ball don't lie.
Because, I mean, honestly, if Green Bay going to San Francisco and Seattle going to Atlanta, I mean, that's whatever. I could see either team winning that. But anyway, over under 46, what do you like?
I like the under here. I like the under pretty good here. You got two teams who have an ability to run the ball. There's going to be a lot of sparring back and forth. I think they're going to be hesitant to try and force the ball. I think RG3 and Russell Wilson are not going to turn it over. Well, actually, I take that back. I think RG3 throws one interception. I talked about that earlier. I think he's good for one.
Let me change your mind real quick. I like the over because Seattle could get this over by themselves. Seattle dominates bad defenses.
All right, I'll roll the over.
And Washington's going to score some points. But, you know, 35-24...
Yeah, that makes sense.
I don't think we're giving Washington enough credit for having a bad defense.
Yeah, they've been able to. Yeah, hell, the Eagles put up 20 points against them, and that's with Nick Foles. Not to take anything away from this Washington team, they had a great season. I mean, they were 3-6. They won 7 in a row, but I just don't see them getting 8 here.
All right, Sean.
I think it's too much.
Do you want to do a? Do you want to guess the team total points?
Do I want to guess the team
it's
total
too easy.
Points? Well, yeah, it's 23-20
and 21.5. Ooh, give me that Seattle over
24.5.
Why are we thinking that all of a sudden they're going to stop scoring because they played a lackluster? They played that last game and they only put up what? They still put up 30, didn't they? Or 21? What did they put up? I don't know. Point being. All right, I have to read this. Let's read off their point totals.
Sure.
All right, so they played an awful game last week against St. Louis in a game they didn't really need.
But St. Louis kind of feisty.
Yeah, they put up 20.
All right.
Against San Francisco, 42. At Buffalo, 50.
San Francisco's defense is really
good. Against Arizona, 58. At Chicago, best defense in the one of the best defense in the league, 23. So. Call me crazy, but...
Wow, yeah, now you really talked me into this Seattle team over. That feels really good. All right, Ryan, that's a lead pipe lock, if you ask me.
We just need our offshore side to get those team totals up soon.
So, all right, now what? Give us the longest touchdown, over, under.
44.5. I'm going to say over just because Russell Wilson throws the best... short, deep ball ever. He underthrows his receiver by like 5 yards, and he just stands there and then jumps up and catches it.
I'm going to go under.
All right. I'm not going to bet on any of these, but I will
They're
be...
fun props
man,
to pick.
Seattle team total points looks good.
That looks... that's one of my favorite props.
All right,
so we have
real quick touch on the futures?
Sure, let's do some updated Super Bowl futures.
All right. Denver coming in the favorite, +250, followed by New England at +300, followed by San Francisco at +400. Don't see that. Followed by Atlanta at +600, Green Bay +800, Seattle +900, and then you got the long shots. Should we even bother? Do you think any of the teams that I, Washington +2,000, Baltimore +2,500, Cincinnati +5,000, Houston +2,000, Indy +8,000,
Minnesota. Yes, Indy 80-1. Are you kidding me?
I think Houston is probably the long shot that you grab if you're going to grab one. They are. I mean, they're playing a home game. They should be one of the last six teams remaining. Although I do think they're going to lose. I don't know though. I think I grab. If I'm grabbing anything here, Green Bay 8-1, Seattle 9-1. I don't know.
Yeah, out of the reasonable ones, I like Green Bay 8-1.
Denver +250 is great because Denver, they lost to New England already, and there's no reason for me.
Why would they be favored over New England? They're going to have to go to New England to play, right?
No, Denver is the number one seed.
Oh wait, because
yeah, but. Even so, I don't. What makes me believe that Denver's not going to get smoked by New England?
Yeah, I don't know why they're favored. They should be on par with New England.
But, yeah, I don't know.
All right, so for these long ones right now, or these outside ones, I'm feeling Green Bay +800, and I'm not kidding when I say Indianapolis Colts +8,000. Right. 80-1.
Yeah, why not?
Indianapolis now, Colts, your Super Bowl champs. I'm going to throw $10 on that right now. That you're telling me that's not a fun bet.
Real quick, while we're at it, MVP. Now this blew my mind a little bit because I know someone who had made a healthy wager on Adrian Peterson to win the MVP, and I said he's not going to win no matter what. Maybe now, if when he breaks the record. Before the season.
Oh, okay. Before he...
Right now, Adrian Peterson, this is according to sportsbook.com, Adrian Peterson -200.
Wow, so he's a -200 favorite.
+160.
So it's just basically down to Peyton
they feel it's down to those two guys. They're not even offering a field bet.
I think they were talking it might be a split. It might be a tie.
Can they do that?
Yeah, no, it happened in, I think...
Oh, that's right.
Something happened in 93.
McNair was co-MVP with someone.
I think Barry Sanders and Brett Favre shared it once, too, in 1993. Memory serves me correct.
That's still kind of weak. So that blows my mind.
They should just have to arm wrestle for the MVP championship. Yeah.
Rookie of the year, Andrew Luck -140.
Wow. Now, why is Luck? I mean, I was arguing for Luck the entire time, but now... Now I'm moving over to Russell Wilson.
RG3 camp. +150. Russell Wilson +350. Now, yeah, we did talk about this, and I said all things equal, I think RG3 wins it.
And I said
I
got
to be honest, though. Since he hurt his knee, I don't think you can give it to him. Although maybe that's even more reason to give it to him.
But he also missed a start.
Don't think you give it to Andrew Luck. If you look at all of his numbers.
They won two games last year, Ryan. That's why you give it to Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
They won two games last year. They won 11 games this year.
And then lastly, the Super Bowl line, NFC +2.5, over under 51. If you're going to do anything there, I say, well, at this point, what NFC team is favored over the Patriots or the Broncos?
None.
And
I mean, we just read the Super Bowl odds.
But at that point, why not grab AFC -2.5? Because it's going to be three if it gets Denver versus anyone. New England versus anyone is going to be -3. And honestly, I like the under 51. That's a lot of points.
Yeah, I mean, look at
unless the problem is you get completely hosed if it's like Green Bay versus New England.
But now we just picked all these playoff matchups. The totals are 41.5, 44.5, 44.5, 44.5.
And I like the under on all of them.
So you're 5 points off the 5.5.
It is in a dome.
Yeah, but... No, wait, Super Bowl, do we have a bye week in between the Super Bowl this year? God, I hate that, but stupid-ass bye week. Are they playing the Pro Bowl again this year in between that?
I don't know.
I hate the Pro Bowl.
All right.
Well, I always end up betting it. It always pisses me off. All right, Ryan, I think we hit on everything we had to hit on, except for the announcement of the winner of the first annual Sports Gambling Podcast NFL Pick'em on ESPN.
Yep, I was actually, before I do that...
the people who came in, I think it was, top three or something, you're getting free T-shirts. We're working on the shirts, so hang tight.
So if you look at since 2000, the last 10 years. So since 2002, it's only gone over 51 three times. So
feels pretty solid. Lay that Super
Bowl.
Just
the thought. And that includes that Tampa Bay-Oakland Super Bowl, which was retarded. All right. So the winner... walking away with a total of 142, E. White. So E. White, how should he send us the contact info?
You got to hit us, follow us on Gambling Podcast. Say hey, I'm E. White. Say hey, say hey.
Oh no, we got email addresses, Sean. What were the email addresses?
I think it's Sean at Sports Gambling Podcast or Ryan at SportsGamblingPodcast.com. And I think you can do show at SportsGamblingPodcast.
Oh, contest.
Contest.
Yeah.
Okay, that's right.
So, yeah, email contest at SportsGamblingPodcast.com. E. White with your name as you would like it to appear on the check and address. Don't send me a P.O. box. I'm not going to send it. Let's see. Number two. I don't know why I don't like P.O. Box. It makes me angry when someone gives me a P.O. Box. Like, dude, get over it. You have an address. Stop trying to be shady. All right. Coming in second, Pickmaster with 137.
He's a big Redskins fan. He's all jacked up.
Is he?
Yeah.
All right. Coming in third, Boobies with 134. So top three got T-shirts?
I think so, yeah. So all you right. can send us your address, too, but...
Yeah, so Pickmaster, Boobies, and E-White, email us at contest@sportsgamblingpodcast.com.
I think we'll do Super Bowl. That'll be our ideal delivery date for the T-shirt. Super Bowl, I think, is pretty realistic.
We're working on... we're working with some hot Hollywood designers. So, you know...
We got expert graphic designers working at the T-shirts. Thank you, everyone, for playing this year.
Yeah.
Great time
in
the pick'em.
Next year we might have more prizes.
More prizes. I'm sure we'll be doing a March Madness bracket and a lot of fun action coming up. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening to Sports Gambling Podcast. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. Check us out on Stitcher. And, of course, follow us on Twitter @GamblingPodcast. For the Sports Gambling Podcast, I am Sean, stacking the money green, and he is Ryan.
Tired.
Kramer.
I got nothing, Sean.
Let it ride.